You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Check in with USC. What do they do next after they fired Clay Helton? We'll talk to Rick Neuheisel, former UCLA head coach, now works as a college football analyst for CBS Sports. He'll join us coming up momentarily. More phone calls as well. If yesterday was overreaction Monday, hopefully today is come back to Earth Tuesday or something like that. Week one results can be deceiving because if you look back to the opening weekend of last season, the eventual champ Buccaneers still figuring out, they lost. They got blown out by the Saints. And on the flip side, the Jags won their opening game last season, went on to lose their next 15. Through the years, we've learned not to overreact. Don't overreact to Packers losses when Aaron Rodgers is at quarterback. And they looked horrible against the Saints. But still, big favorites week two against the Lions. Bills try to bounce back from their loss. They face the Dolphins. Titans can't play any worse. They actually have a tough assignment going to Seattle. There's so many factors in the season. Every team approaches the preseason differently, and some guys didn't play much at all. And you saw a lot of rust in week one. I would relax a little bit with the "should this team panic" headline. Maybe after week two, you can ask that. But let's just take it one game at a time. I mean, I go back to the Buccaneers in November. They were 7-5. And I thought, man, are they going to make it as a wild card team? And then all of a sudden, they caught fire and they didn't lose after that. And sometimes that's what happens with a team. It just, you try to handicap this week to week, and it's hard to handicap emotion. You know, you heard Matt LaFleur saying, hey, they were more inspired, or I'm paraphrasing here. Basically, the Saints were ready to play and the Packers weren't. Like, how are you not ready to play the first game? You know, were the Packers overconfident here? Here is the Packers head coach on, did the offseason have anything to do with Aaron Rodgers' performance on Sunday?
There's a national media site that, just before he got in here, published a story saying that Rodgers' uncertain status might have impacted things yesterday. Do you think there's anything to that as far as a leader goes? And you know what happened in the offseason. Do you think there's any impact at all on that, on this year's team?
You're talking about the offseason?
Yes.
No, I think this team's focused on now, and unfortunately, sometimes in this league, you get humbled, and certainly we got humbled, and like I said, it's about how we respond to that.
Okay, so you weren't ready, but now you're focused. Which one is it? I guess you got to ask the question, and I guess you got to answer it that way. Do I think everything that happened in the offseason has had or will have some effect on the Packers this year? I do. Whether it's conscious or subconscious, yes, I do. Raiders had the win last night, but that was back and forth. That's as wild as you're going to see a game that you weren't sure. At some point, you thought the Ravens were going to win, then the Raiders were going to win, then the Ravens were going to win, now the Raiders, and then the Raiders eventually got the win. Here is John Gruden talking about the game-winning score.
I don't want to get into all the specifics, but we knew they were going to all-out blitz. That's their history. That's what they do. You can forget about the throw and the catch. It's the protection. It was a great pickup by our guys, and Derek threw the ball retreating. It was just a heck of a play against an all-out blitz with the game on the line. But we had run a version of that play earlier, yes.
So that's John Gruden after the win. Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, host of Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He hosts the Eagles preseason as their color analyst. He is a very busy man. He'll be on the call, the Chiefs and the Ravens Sunday Night Football in Westwood One, and he joins us now. Was that one of those that the Raiders won or the Ravens lost, as we like to ask that question, Ross?
Oh, man, Dan. I'll give the Raiders credit because it felt like they won it a couple times. So I'll say the Raiders won it, but there's no question that Lamar Jackson's fumbles were the difference in the game, and it felt like the Ravens were really in pretty darn good shape other than those fumbles, but that's a big part of it. You know, that's a big part of Lamar Jackson as a player. It's a big part of the football game and the way the Raiders played. I was just so impressed because I thought there were a bunch of times when the Raiders could have laid down, were going to lay down, and the Ravens would take it away. I don't know. I've seen the stat. It was like 80 times in a row the Ravens had won or something like that when they had a 14-point lead. So give the Raiders a lot of credit to come back against a very good defense down two scores like that.
Are you sold on Derek Carr? Are you a Derek Carr guy?
I am sold that Derek Carr is a franchise quarterback. I am sold that Derek Carr is a starting quarterback. And I think most people probably realize now, Dan, you can get into this debate, but if you have a top 20 quarterback, and I believe Derek Carr is that, right? Somewhere probably between 12 and 20, depending on how he's playing. I think you hold on to those guys for dear life. Because if you have one of the worst 5 to 10, you really don't have a shot. If you have Derek Carr, you have a chance to go to the playoffs. You have a chance to go to the playoffs and win multiple playoff games. Do I think he's a Super Bowl championship quarterback? Well, I mean, if Nick Foles won one, yes. If Jimmy Garoppolo should have won one a couple years ago, then yes. But you have to have a really good team around him.
Are you – you're acting like a lawyer here. You're making a case for your client. That's what it sounded like. Yeah. But
yeah,
like,
I mean, I guess. I don't know.
Are you passionate about Derek Carr as your quarterback?
No, I don't think I am. Although, you know what? I really liked what he said last night after the game about his offensive line, about the defense. He kind of got me passionate about him as a guy, maybe more than him as a quarterback, with that post-game interview, what he said about Zay Jones, 6 a.m. Derek Carr kind of got me fired up after the game. You know what Derek Carr, you know what category he goes into, Dan? Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins, a lot of these guys, they go into the category of, man, you'd rather have him than a bunch of other guys, but you'd always rather have somebody better. You know, I don't know what, I think I started like 25 games, Dan, in my career over five, whatever, how many years it was. I got the distinct impression every time I was playing that the team I was on would really rather have somebody better out there. You know, like I didn't lose the game for him. I didn't lose the game for him, but they really would rather if there was somebody. It's hard to watch Derek Carr Monday night after you watch the ridiculous throw that Mahomes made to Tyreek Hill to give the Chiefs that win against the Browns. It's hard to watch some of these guys and the plays they make and not, as a fan, be like, oh, I want that. I want that guy. Cousins is fine. Carr is fine. But I want that guy for my team.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman. We believe he started 25 games in his NFL career. Lamar Jackson, I can give you a highlight of unbelievable stuff, and then I can give you another highlight tape that is bad stuff there. And having those two in the same game, you're just, you know, you help your team win, but you help your team lose as well. What do you think the Ravens will try to get Lamar Jackson to do differently against the Chiefs on Sunday night?
Yeah, first of all, I can't wait for the game Sunday night. It's going to be awesome. It's a huge game. Obviously, there's two things. Number one, he just can't fumble like that. You cannot fumble.
But what's that mean? Of course he can't fumble. He's not trying to.
What it means is take care of the ball better. You know, when you're in that situation, you're not always going to be able to escape. This is not high school anymore. It's not Louisville. You're not always going to be able to make a play. You can't fumble, and he still misses a few layups. So he makes some great throws. I mean, the touchdown to Andrews back of the end zone, he makes some awesome throws, Dan, but he still misses some layups. And I've said the same thing about the Ravens for years now. I think that the Ravens are good enough to win double-digit games, win a playoff game, maybe two, but I don't see him going to the Super Bowl. You got to win three games to go to the Super Bowl against good teams, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Browns, whatever. He just doesn't, and maybe not just Lamar, but the passing game, it's just not good enough converting the layups to win three playoff games in a row. I feel like the Ravens are in football purgatory. And I'll give you another team, the Seahawks. Seahawks looked great on Sunday, but I don't think they're really good enough to beat Tampa or to go to the Super Bowl. I feel like there's some teams that are in no man's land where they're just going to go to the playoffs and maybe win a game every year, and then that's it. Seattle in the NFC, Baltimore in the AFC.
Okay, but Lamar Jackson's 24. How much more can he improve with his passing? Because it felt like he was really reliant on running because they don't have a running game, and maybe that led to some of these fumbles. But as far as being a pocket passer, because he's going to eventually slow down, and he's going to have to beat you from the pocket a couple of times here.
Well, it's interesting because it felt like they had him do more of that last night than we had seen the last 2 years. Even when he was MVP, it felt like it was more drop back passing from Lamar. Honestly, Dan, I think he probably has a similar career path to Cam Newton. Now, I don't think Lamar takes as much physical punishment as Cam did because Lamar is more of a speed runner than a power runner. But I would not be surprised if they had similar career paths in which Lamar has several more good seasons and the Ravens are in the mix like the Panthers were for a while there. And then eventually, you know, the physical gifts are not enough for him to be able to have sustained play like that in his 30s.
You think this is a 10-year window?
Yeah, and what's wrong with that, by the way?
No,
not everybody. Everybody's breeze. 10 years. I mean, you have an MVP caliber quarterback for 10 years. That's awesome.
The biggest surprise of week one was what?
Probably the Packers playing that poorly. I mean, I picked the Texans to win, so I can't say them. I picked the Eagles to win, so I can't say them. I did not think the Packers would come out there and play that poorly. But I'll say this, Dan, that I have no idea why they fired Mike Pettine. They were a top 10 defense the second half last year. They bring in Joe Barry, who's never coordinated better than like the 28th ranked defense in 4 or 5 years. Mm. I mean, you know how much variance there is on defense. 4 or 5 years, never better than like 28th. And they looked like they gave up 38 points to Jameis Winston. Could have been more. And then offensively, boy, I know they got some O-line issues with Bakhtiari out, but they did not look very good. And I'm sorry, but Rodgers did not look to me like he had the same edge he had last year. I mean, last year, Rodgers, you could almost sense he was out to prove something to the world. He was mad about the Jordan Love pick. Now he just looks to me like he looks like a yoga instructor, like at the beach. He doesn't look like he's mad and trying to prove something wrong to anybody anymore.
He looks like he could be my sensei, you know? Like,
yeah, he looks very zen. I don't know if zen's good.
Great to talk to you as always, bud. Safe travels, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great.
That's Ross Tucker. Ross Tucker, the former NFL offensive lineman, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And he's going to be doing Westwood One, the Chiefs and the Ravens on Sunday night. Sunday night, it'll be Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs, heading to Baltimore. Battle Lamar Jackson and the Ravens Sunday at 7 Eastern on NBC. A couple of phone calls in here. Tim in Indiana. Hi, Tim. What's on your mind today?
Hey, 6'2", 230. Hey, I've never met you, never called in before. Born and raised in South Bend, Indiana. Big Notre Dame fan. Willingham and Charlie Weiss. Those guys came to town, times got lean, so I had to switch over and live vicariously through the Colts on Sunday, and I just wanted you to know that's how I became a Colts fan.
All right. Well, thank you, Tim. Yes, Paulie?
That's about a 2.5-year-old bit where some guy called in and explained why he became a fan of a team, and they just hung up.
Yeah.
I think this guy finally got through, and it was continuing that bit from 2.5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
It's really well played.
Yeah.
Playing a long game.
Yeah.
Good job, Tim. Kind of lulled me to sleep a little bit there. And then, hey, you know, Charlie Weiss, and that's how I became a Colts fan.
All right, well.
Yeah, one guy just called in one day, and he wanted to let me know how he became a fan of, you know, some team. And I was like, okay. And I didn't ask for it. And then other people followed up and started telling me how they became a fan of a certain team. Jeff in Detroit, who's a fan of the Lions. Jeff joining us on the program. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, you had to start off with that one. Since we're complaining today, Dan, you need to quit asking questions that make all your guests stop and think, because it's not the regular question that they receive during the press junket, man. You got to cut that out. You got to quit making left turns and get more out of the interview than you're supposed to, dude. Come out, man. Stay in your lane, Dan. Stay in your lane. Hey, listen. With both stadiums opening up in such grand fashion, my question to you guys is this. Which one would you rather be? The fans that can sit there and look at the scoreboard, get lamb chops from the concession and know that you won the game, or the nail biter that you'll never forget winning in overtime in the fashion that the Raiders did? So basically, L.A., blowout, Raiders, nail biter win in the end.
I don't know. And thank you, Jeff. Nobody's going to remember a blowout. I mean, you might go, remember Stafford when he made his debut with the Rams? I guess. And, you know, they christened the new stadium and they blew out the Bears. Who was the quarterback for the Bears? Andy Dalton. Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember. Like, nobody's going to remember that. But, you know, this win with the Raiders, John Gruden's got a 10-year contract. I don't know if he can officially be on the hot seat. You know, it just feels like they're 8-9 or 9-8 this year. And at some point, you have to go, we've given you and Mike Mayock time to develop a playoff caliber team. They're not bad. They're just never really good. And they're, you know, the accordion, it doesn't go out too wide where it's like really low or really high. It's in the middle. And they need to get these wins. Yeah, Paul.
It's the Jason Garrett syndrome. If you're 8-8, you can't really be fired. It's harder to fire someone who's 8-8 with promise and young talent. That's John Gruden's in that situation.
Well, now you're either 8-9 or 9-8. Then it's a little different. Like you go 9-8, you're like, hey, 9-8. You go 8-9, you're like 8-9. Yes, Todd.
Would you rather be an average team that, you know, gets blown out a few times, or a team like the Chargers, though, that doesn't seem to be going anywhere, they can't get out of their own way, and a number of your games are lost by like 5 or 3 or 2 points?
Well, they're close, but they've been close for a long time. I just want hope. If I'm an NFL fan, I just want hope. And there are a lot of franchises, you go into games most of the time and you don't have any hope. That's all you want. You just want to be relevant. And so I would take the Chargers situation, because there's a lot of talent there. They're going to figure out one of these days. Take a break. We'll talk to Rick Neuheisel, get his thoughts on what USC did yesterday and what they're going to do in the near future. 19 after the hour, Dan Patrick Show. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. And there's no limit on how much you can earn, which is amazing. Even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. You can learn more at discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Great stuff available at the Dan Patrick Show store. Go to danpatrick.com. We have a new partner, Sportique, creating a limited edition tailgate package. Pair of sweatpants, sweatshirt, a win or lose, we celebrate flask, a custom box specifically designed for this bundle, and a handwritten note from me in every one of the packages. Only 200 available in store at danpatrick.com, because these won't last long. Yes, we are working on a Jimmy Jimerson t-shirt. I don't know. It's in development right now, but some of my finest people are working on it as we speak. I mentioned David Shaw as a possibility. Stanford head coach, just beat USC. He's been at Stanford for 10 years. He is 91-37 overall, won the Pac-12 three times. He has been the Pac-12 coach of the year four times. He is 5-3 in bowl games, zero scandals, zero drama. What about David Shaw at USC? Yeah, Paul.
And last year, he was 2020, he was 6-4, 4-2. So if things cool off a little bit down there, within there, he's still a hot property. Like you said, you jump before you cool off. You don't want to have a 500 season, yeah, then try to get the USC job.
Yeah, I know. And they were coming off a loss, and they picked up the win, roughed up USC. Rick Neuheisel, former UCLA head coach and now working for CBS, CBS college football analyst, and also coached at Washington and Colorado. He knows the Pac-12, in other words. And Rick, kind enough to join us. Explain the timing of USC's decision to fire Clay Helton.
Makes no sense. I mean, Clay had been hanging on in what I call coaching purgatory for, it seems like, the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, he was hanging on like that cat was hanging on in Miami. I mean, but to do it in week two is a little bit questionable, because now it puts, if you really think Dante Williams is a good coach, you put him in kind of harm's way, because if he does well, the players, just like they did for Mario Cristobal in Oregon, are going to be clamoring he should be the guy. And is he really going to be the guy that you're going to go forward with? That, to me, is a precarious situation. And if he doesn't do well, you've lost one of your best recruiters.
What is the upside to this?
The upside to this is, look, you're telling your constituency, the Trojan faithful, that you're going back to trying to be a dynasty. You realize you were kind of a fringe player all along during this last regime, and that isn't good enough.
Yeah, I just wondered if it was he on that short of a leash that it was, and I know losing to Stanford and losing at home, being embarrassed, and UCLA is starting to rise a little bit. Like, I don't know if the two are connected at all. Am I connecting the dots and they shouldn't be connected?
I don't think that has much to do with it. I think it does have something to do with it, that they're getting ready for a new television deal and they want to signal to the television partners that, hey, SC is going to be a different animal going back to the days of glory, quote unquote. Listen, when Clay Helton went small ball, when he hired Cliff Kingsbury, and then Cliff off to the NFL, so he had to stay within the same genre, otherwise it would have looked like he was just hiring a name. He goes with Graham Harrell. You lose a lot of history with USC. I mean, this is a place where Ron Yeary, Anthony Munoz, Keith Van Horn, Brad Buddy, Don Mosbar, Tony Baselli. I mean, Elijah Vera Tucker was a first rounder, but they averaged, Dan, less than 100 yards a game rushing, 3 yards a carry last year. This they used to be the bullies on the block. Going down the tunnel at the Coliseum with those guys in there, you're like, oh my goodness. They went small ball, and it was it's not what you do when you're a dominant program.
Well, give me the state of this program. USC needs to be honest with USC.
Right. They need to go back to financing their expectations. They need to go, and that's what Mike Bone said in this dismissal letter, that he has given them added resources. They need now to go back and use the power that they wield in the world of recruiting. I wouldn't even be shocked if they went and got an NFL GM, given all the different ways to amass talent now via the transfer portal, via go get a bunch of NIL deals in Los Angeles that are going to be readily available for kids that are going to be coming to the program. And go back to being a dominant team. The name that I'm going to throw out there, and I don't know if Urban's going to like the NFL, but Urban Meyer is the guy that I would be circling.
But I thought that he was tops on the list, but then it was vetoed by the higher-ups.
But the higher-ups now have also now seen what happens when they don't have the guy that they need, and Urban's been hired already. So if somebody else has hired him, It now makes it easier for you to you can see that he's made amends, blah, blah, blah.
Could you see Urban Meyer a one and done in the NFL, Rick?
Yes.
Why?
Urban Meyer is a control guy. And I don't say that disparagingly. He wants total control. The NFL athlete is a different animal. And sometimes his way of doing things will fall on some deaf ears, which will drive him crazy.
Could you call Urban Meyer now for January?
you can make overtures.
Yeah.
You can go back channels and you know, try to get to his people and see if there's any interest. Now, obviously, it's only one game in, and if Jacksonville has a complete, you know, change of course and becomes, you know, close to a playoff team or a playoff team, then this would all go out the window. But if this has the kind of season that I don't think is a far-fetched idea, meaning that it's a 3-4-5 win team, wow, Urban Meyer might say, you know what? I'm more of a college guy.
Okay, I'm going to throw out a name while we're throwing out names.
Yes.
Because Urban Meyer can't be one and done in the NFL. Lane Kiffin.
Keyshawn likes Lane Kiffin. I think too big a leap for the Trojan administration to go back there. I mean, if you're going to do that, why wouldn't you go back to Sark? Right now, Lane Kiffin has this kind of aura about him that somehow mysteriously he can build it. But Lane Kiffin does it in the same way. He small balls it. He's throwing it all over the place. Now, they run the ball more than SC does, but I still think you need somebody like, I tell you, Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien might be in on this deal if he has his kind of year.
I don't think you can sell that.
Luke Fickle.
Yeah, I think that's the guy.
Yeah, Luke Fickle. But the question is, can he recruit the West Coast? Urban. Trust me, Urban's where they're going to try to butter their bread.
Well, we might as well go all the way to the top and go Pete Carroll. Bring Pete Carroll back while we're at it, Rick.
Yeah, while we're at it. I mean, listen, and Pete could probably do it, but Pete seems pretty happy there in Seattle.
Yeah, but I'm trying to understand, you know, they don't keep talent in Southern California. They're letting all these great quarterbacks leave Southern California.
Huh? You may not get them out of high school right away, but you can get them on the bounce back. That's what Sonny Dykes has done at SMU. He's got a bunch of Dallas kids coming back to SMU, and their team is, I mean, last year they were the first time ranked since 1984. The transfer portal has given you two bites at the apple now for these kids that are from local. And like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if you go and get the new model. I think is go get a general manager that's going to help you look at all these different arenas to find talent and amass yourselves with them. One thing USC has always been willing to do is let you get players into school.
So, wait, are you still bitter?
Does that sound? Did that come off a little bit bitter? Maybe it was the 50-0 thrashing I took, Dan. As a matter of fact, you were there.
Yes, I was.
You were there.
Yes, I was. Not for the whole game.
No, that mercifully.
Yeah, and I was on the other sideline. Well, assess what we've seen so far. UCLA roughs up LSU at home, and Oregon goes on the road to beat Ohio State. Is this an anomaly, or is Pac-12 for real?
Those two teams are not anomalies. They're both physically built. Chip Kelly, I've said many times, should have been a service academy coach because of his affinity for running the football. Schematically, he's ahead of most in the run game, and now he's got two bruising backs, that kid from Michigan, Charbonnet, and the kid from Duke, Brown, both transfers, again, showing you that you can find ways to get players. They're the real deal, and if the quarterback can have any kind of year, they're going to be in this race all the way to the end. The Oregon win was fantastic, beautifully done. It may be more about Ohio State's defense than it is about Oregon's team. I think we're going to have to wait and see where they are defensively. They gave up 600 yards of offense and still found a way to win because they were able to control it. I'm not sure there aren't some better defenses right now that they'll see later in the season, in particular UCLA, who looked really good against LSU. The worry in the Pac-12 is the bottom half. They're the only Power 5 team with 0-3, 0-2 teams, and in particular Washington, because Washington is vital to the Pac-12 success as well.
Always great to talk to you. You make us smarter. Thank you, bud.
See you, Dan.
That's Rick Neuheisel, coach at Washington, Colorado, UCLA. Urban Meyer, I guess if you're going to take a swing, you want to let your fan base know and your boosters know that we are going after everybody. Because normally, they don't go after. They promote from within. And are they going to go outside? that would be my recommendation, but Clay Helton got the job because of Steve Sarkisian and his issues off the field. I mean, you fire Lane Kiffin on the tarmac. Like, it's just, and it's not like you couldn't get marquee coaches to go in there. But I think that this, it feels like you have a fan base that's used to something, and then you have the new president, and she has got different things in mind here of what she wants USC to be. And that's where Urban Meyer, to me, do I think he would leave Jacksonville after a year? I guess I could say it's possible. Do I think that USC would hire him? I do not. Luke Fickle? Okay, can he recruit on the West Coast? I don't know. I mean, it makes a lot of sense if you have an athletic director who has ties to him and brought him to Cincinnati, but it's not a sexy choice. And I think USC fans are like, all right, who are we bringing in? Who wants this job? And then you're going, maybe it's not on everybody's wish list here. I mean, this isn't like Notre Dame. This isn't like Ohio State. This is different. But I would take, I don't know if USC would do it, you know, with your pride and going, could David Shaw, would you be interested in coaching USC? Cristobal at Oregon, who's done a wonderful job there, great recruiter. Yeah, Paulie.
See, and I were talking about Cristobal over at Oregon. If he could somehow parlay a call from USC with a win over Ohio State, someone's getting a raise this week.
Yeah. That's when Phil Knight goes, come on in. Let me talk to you. What exactly do you want? Building named after you? Yeah, see.
What do you say we bump you up to 7 a year, pal? Seven a year for the next 35 years. How's that?
But David Shaw makes less than Clay Helton made at USC. Yeah, Paul.
Okay. NFL coaches have Tuesday media availability. Does a Jaguars beat reporter ask Urban Meyer a question about USC football? And if so, how does Urban Meyer, who's media savvy, answer it?
I guess you could ask where you say, how close did it get for you to take the USC job? Would you listen? Now, I don't know if I could ask this. I don't know if I could go, like, I've been in those press conferences with these big egos, and you know, you raise your hand, and you know, as you raise your hand, you're going, oh, this might not go well. Coach, sorry about the loss of the Texans. Would you entertain a phone call from USC? Coach, you have any interest in coaching at USC? I'm going to guess the answer is not going to be long. But I mean, somebody may ask that, but I just don't. Never say never. But if I'm USC, am I interested in Urban Meyer? I guess I am, but I don't think this is going to fly with the president. I just don't. Everything that's been going on at USC in the last couple of years, I just don't see it. Don't see it happen. David Shaw could come in, comes in clean. Knows the West Coast, knows the conference. I love how, you know, we always have one side. When somebody makes a trade, you know, a Yankee fan always says, yeah, we're thinking about getting Mike Trout. We're going to give you, and then, you know, he'll give you two minor leaguers and a, you know, backup second baseman. I'll hang up and listen. No, that's not going to happen. Like, David Shaw may go, why would I go to USC? Like, I don't need to go to USC. But USC is thinking, hey, David, come on in. Urban Meyer, come on in. All of these different coaches where you think, oh, that'd be the guy. Yeah, they're going to want to come to USC. When you're in a vacuum, you don't realize what everybody else realizes on the outside looking in. And that could be the case with USC. You might go, I don't know. Are the priorities on football? Because they used to be. May not be. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow, and we're going to try to squeeze all of that in coming up here on the Dan Patrick Show. The hottest rookies, the biggest superstars, the all-time greats. There's only one place to collect them all. Panini Trading Cards, the exclusive trading card partner of the NFL. Panini America utilizes iconic brands like Donruss, Prism, Contenders, delivering instant classic trading cards of the most popular players. You got Trey Lance, Trevor Lawrence is in there, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, autograph cards, memorabilia cards, rare inserts, and the hottest rookie cards. There's something for everyone in Panini America packs. What Panini America trading cards are poised to rise based on week two's performance? Well, here's some of the key games. Mac Jones, Zach Wilson square off for the first time. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson in the same game. How about Dak Prescott and Justin Herbert ready for a showdown in LA? Tom Brady versus Atlanta. All eyes on Brady, but Atlanta rookie Kyle Pitts could benefit from this matchup. You can start or continue your collection right now at PaniniAmerica.net, the official trading card of the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce will be on the program tomorrow. Join us on the program tomorrow is what the announcer tried to say. Got some information here from a source on USC. Let's see. In no particular order, my source said keep an eye on Jeff Hafley. He's at Boston College. He has been in the NFL, defensive coordinator at Ohio State. Great recruiter, has the personality to mingle with the alums in Hollywood and Orange County. Coached under Urban Meyer. My source said Luke Fickell doesn't want to leave the Midwest, according to coaches who work for him. David Shaw is running out of gas. Jim Harbaugh built up that program. Shaw maintained it. A week ago, got crushed by K-State, not interested in recruiting hard. So that's just some information from a source here. Yes, Paulie.
You want to win the press conference? Get LA fans fired up? Jeff Hafley, Dan.
Well, boom. I know, but it might be one of those where you go, remember when we were laughing at Jeff Hafley right. from Boston College? When
It could be a great coach and a great guy.
Yeah, but got some information there from a source. But you're going to probably hear a lot of names, but they might not be big names there. But I do not see Urban Meyer. Rick Neuheisel said Urban Meyer, and I just don't see it happening. I don't. For a variety of reasons. All right, some phone calls here. Sean in Oregon. Hey, Sean, what's on your mind today?
Dan, I want to give a special thanks to you and your crew. You know, in a world full of negativity, you guys are a positive way for me to start my day. And you guys don't take yourself too serious. You're not afraid to make light of yourselves. And you guys just have a good time. And I just want to give a special thanks because it means a lot to us out here.
Well, thank you, Sean. I appreciate that. We can skew negative, but hopefully in a humorous way. But we do poke fun at ourselves. At least we try to. Self-inflicted sometimes. Yes, Hayden.
Take that, Mark.
Mark in North Carolina.
Punk.
Punk.
A punk. Punk.
Nick in California. Hi, Nick.
Hello, Dan. Hall of Famer, bro. Listen, both my parents were atheists, but I, like everyone, had the need to invest my innate faith in something, and that's how I became a Laker fan.
Thank you, Nick.
You're going to pick a religion, Lakers. You should come through a couple down years.
They got me. I was waiting. Yeah. How you became a fan of a certain team. I got another friend, and I'll try not to do this every day, but I'm going to get this from people. Chris Richard played at USC with when Pete Carroll was there, defensive coordinator for the Seahawks, defensive coordinator for the Cowboys, defensive back coach for the Saints, Chris Richard. So you're going to hear a lot of these names, and if you're a USC fan, you're probably going, wait, that's it? That's all we can get? Patrick in New York joins us on the program. Hi, Patrick. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dan. How you doing?
Great.
I've got a Jimmy Jimerson limerick I'd like to offer up.
Another Jimmy Jimerson limerick, our insider, Jimmy Jimerson. A Jimerick, as we like to call that, Patrick.
Well, I'm not the first one.
No.
Oh, bummer. Oh, do you want to hear it anyway?
Yes. Hell yes, I want to hear a Jimmy Jimerson limerick.
There's a man named Jimmy Jimerson whose hot takes are considered nitroglycerin, but to his defense within the press, his insider views are considered common sense.
All right. All right. Well, thank you, Patrick.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. A little force there. Jimmy Jimerson.
I think he's got to work on the cadence a little bit,
a little bit, too.
I don't know.
He might have been nervous.
The rhyming scheme was right on, but appreciate the effort.
Yeah. But, hey, let's keep it positive
here. Hey.
Come on. Keep it positive here. This day in sports history, Paulie, what do you have?
There's a ton of them. 1968, Denny McClain, the Detroit Tigers, became baseball's first 30-game winner in 34 years. Is that a record? Is that something that never happens again?
Yes.
Not enough starts, right?
Yeah.
What like a high-end pitcher gets 33 starts now?
Yeah, probably.
34?
But they don't go 8 or 9 innings. Denny McClain, I don't know how many complete games he had. He probably had 25 or so complete games, maybe even 30 complete games back then. He won 31 games that year.
Jamal Lewis of the Ravens, 2003, ran for 295 yards against the Browns.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. I don't know if there was anything else in there. What else do you have? McLovin, final results of the poll question.
Most disappointing college football program of late. Nebraska, number one, followed by Michigan, then Texas, then USC fourth, and only 8% Florida State.
Okay. So Travis Kelce will join us on the program tomorrow. Make sure you check out the DP Show store. There's some great things there. Penny's Bang Biscuits are there. We have new T-shirts there. And we have a new bundle that's our tailgate package. Nice package. Win or lose, we celebrate flask and a custom box specifically built for the bundle. And a handwritten note from me. I had all of these postcards. The postcards say aloha on them, and I had to personally sign all 200 of those that we'll put into the boxes. So, special little treat there. And by the way, I saw the final results, the finished product of the calendar. We'll let you know when you can order the calendar. Whoo, is it spectacular?
Thumbs up?
Oh, I think it's wonderful. It's I don't know if you can have every month available for the entire family, but I will say that the female demographic of this audience, you are welcome. And maybe some male demographics are welcome with this because there is a lot of skin. Seton is the most exposed.
Natch.
Yeah. Yes. But, I mean, if you've ever wanted to see a lot of McLovin, you got it.
Ooh.
Yeah. Usually it's Fritzy who has the suggestive poses.
Wait, the upper body shot or the lower body shot?
The upper body, yeah.
Okay.
We keep encouraging Todd to put on clothes, but he keeps taking clothes off.
Why do I do that?
I don't know.
Nobody wants to see that.
No, they don't. When you did the wet T-shirt one.
That was more than enough.
Stayed with me. You had socks on.
Did have socks.
You had a wet T-shirt and socks on for the
calendar. And then you get cold sweats and nightmares in the middle of the night. It's just, it's not a good
thing. But the worst one ever is when Seton did the Thanksgiving turkey. I mean, that
worst, you mean best.
There were a lot of people who became vegetarians that Thanksgiving. You saved a lot of turkeys. Todd, what'd you learn on today's award-nominated program?
I learned that Ross Tucker thinks Aaron Rodgers looks like a yoga instructor at the beach. Perhaps too much Zen going on with him these days.
McLovin?
Lewis Riddick is in on Derek Carr as Raiders quarterback.
Seton O'Connor?
Manning brothers killed it.
Manning Night Football, ESPN. That's my gift to you. Paulie?
Always have your dog in order when you call in.
Intelligence runs in the family. Not this family. Innovation runs in the family. Not this family. Extraordinary runs in the family, not this family. Mercedes-Benz, They got SUVs every member is waiting to impress. Learn more at mbusa.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Thanks for joining us. Our pleasure to serve you. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on the Dan Patrick Show. One more item as we close out this program. Go to rockauto.com. All the parts your car, truck will ever need. rockauto.com. Family business founded by automotive engineers in 1999. Two goals in mind. First, giving you direct access to all the parts information hidden in the computers and the catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, making the parts affordable. They offer reliably low prices. rockauto.com has the correct parts for vehicles of all ages. A vehicle that turns the engine off at every stoplight or has the battery installed in the trunk needs a modern AGM battery like those rockauto.com sells, and yes, the battery's delivered right to your door, which means you're not wasting time and money hunting for the parts, and that means phoning and driving and waiting in lines. It's one stop. It's rockauto.com. Make sure you tell them we sent you. Write Dan Patrick in the how did you hear about us box so they know we sent you and you listened to this program. rockauto.com, the correct parts for vehicles of all ages, all the parts your car or truck will ever need, with the great folks at rockauto.com.